This is Bustin' Loose in Faith with none other than Apostle Dudley Tebow and Prophetess Lisa Tebow. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a broadcast that brings you word and encouragement for your soul. We want you to remember that you don't have no worries. All you need is faith in God. Bustin' Loose in Faith airs Tuesdays and Fridays at 6 p.m. Central Time. Now, without further ado, let's get into this broadcast, and may God bless you.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God is good and worthy to be praised. All praise, all glory, all honor belongs to him this day. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God. We serve a good God. We serve a God that sits high and looks low. We serve a God that knows us all by name, the very hairs of his. And for that, we are grateful and thankful for him, Jesus Christ, and holy name of prayer. Oh, precious Father, as we approach the throne of grace, we come to you, humble ourselves underneath our mighty hand. Just thanking and praising you for your mercy, your grace, and your love. Just thanking and praising you for who you are, that you are God, and besides thee, there is no other to worship in spirit and in truth. We're ever so grateful and thankful to be on top of the ground not on top of us. We're ever so grateful and thankful to be, hallelujah, here, precious Father, by the Spirit of the living God, just for you to have your way today. As I get out of the way, precious Father, hide me behind Calvary's cross. Lord, this is a plea. Use me for thy glory in the name of Jesus. We bind up all technical difficulties, anything that will try to hinder the word of God from going forward. And Father, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in the name of Jesus. Prepare the people's heart to receive thy word in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. And we thank you in advance for answering prayers, honoring requests, and most of all, precious Lord, for meeting each and every need. Thank you for salvation to go forward this night and forevermore. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, God is a good God. He's worthy to be praised. All praise, all glory, and honor belongs to him. Hallelujah. We thank God again for having this opportunity to come before you and bring forth the word through the use of the internet tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My name is Apostle Dudley Tebow. We're probably Lisa Tebow. Hallelujah. Just thanking God that teamwork makes the dream life and ministry work. If you have your Bible with me, I would like you to open it up to 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 through 25. And we'll also be looking at 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 through 15. Hallelujah. God is good and worthy to be praised. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18 through 25, and the word of God reads, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews required a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greek foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and the Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger." In 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 and 15, it reads, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the flavor savor of this knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Just for the next few minutes, I would like you to pray for me and with me as I bring forth the word of God tonight. Amen. God is good and worthy to be praised. He is an awesome God. He is a God that, hallelujah, that knows us all by name, the very hairs on our head. And for that, we are grateful and thankful here tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good and worthy to be praised. Just for the next few minutes, I want to give you something to consider for you to think about. Amen. We're going to be talking about God expects a return on what he has invested in you. God expects a return on what he has invested in you. In other words, God wants a return on his investment. Here in the scriptures that was read, amen, we thank God for the apostle who wrote to the Corinthians, hallelujah, in both letters, 1 Corinthians as well as 2 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters in Christ, all those that are listening, I want to remind you that only what is done for Christ will last. You see, God has invested in you and I as a child of his, and he expects a return in the form of spiritual growth in our lives. Are you being a wise steward of God's investment in you? That's the question that we should ponder tonight, that we should all have brought before us and meditate on it for a minute. Are you being a wise steward of God's investment in you? In the book of Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, the word of God reads, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Believers of Christ, all those that are listening in, those will be listening at a later date. God expects a return on what he has invested in you. You see, investment conceived from the mind of God is destined for his purpose and do not have risk. I'm going to say it again. Investment conceived from the mind of God is destined for his purposes and does not have risks. You see, it is impossible to have your heart focus on heaven and invest from the mind of man. God is a good God, and he's worthy to be praised. That's why before we make any type of investment in the natural, we need to pray and ask God for wisdom. Bible says that we lack wisdom, but to ask of God, and he will give it to us liberally. Investment in the natural. You look for the best investment. You do your research and see what investment you can invest in to get a great dividend, a great turnover, a profit. So when we look at it in the spiritual realm, God having made a great investment in every believer of Christ. Oh, yes, he has. And once he does that, he's looking for a return on his investment. which would be spiritual growth on our part taking place. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when God invests in you a great return, he expects 1,000% on our part. See, God knows how much you can bear. He knows what you're capable of doing. He knows that the investment that he has invested in every individual as a born-again believer, not everyone has the same gift. Not everyone has, but we all have the same faith. Because the Bible says God has dealt to every man the measure. And when I'm talking about man, I'm talking about woman, boy or girl. Faith. Hebrews 11:1 says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. And them that come to God must believe that he is who he said he is. And he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So brothers and sisters of Christ, the real Christian life, as it is demonstrated in the book of Acts, is a supernatural walk with God. You see, the wisdom of God is hidden in the simplicity of Jesus' death on the cross. It unlocks the door for the Creator, for the creation, to walk with the Creator. You see, Jesus made it possible. He bridged the gap between God and man. He made it possible for us to be back in relationship with God our Father. He brought us to the place of restoration. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. See, the Apostle Paul, again here, he declares in the book of 1 Corinthians, that the true preaching of the gospel is Jesus Christ revealing himself to man with developing demonstration of power by the Holy Spirit working in their lives. Yes, again, the book of 1 Corinthians, that the true preaching of the gospel, the good news, is Jesus Christ revealing himself to man developing demonstration of power by the Holy Spirit working in their lives. Likewise, my brothers and sisters in Christ, our walk with God is to continue in this fashion. So that our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God expects a return on what he has invested in you. Yes, he expects a harvest. He expects a return that is greater than when we first started. You see, Jesus has made a great investment in your life, as well as mine, as a believer of Christ. And what kind of return is he getting for it? So, child of God, the fact still remains, hallelujah, that God is an awesome God. He's a God that sits high and look low. He's a God that knows us all by name, the very hairs on our heads. So, child of God, the fact that you are breathing, it is a gift from God. Air that we breathe is free. And we thank God for clean, free air. Being alive is another great gift that comes from God. But it is But it is one that we oftentimes take for granted. We owe our lives to the grace of God. Because God, He is awesome. You see, He woke you up this morning. He sent you on your way. We're on top of the ground, and the ground is not on top of us. So we thank God for His grace and His mercy that He has extended benefits on us this day. Because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice in it. You see, God has invested His power, His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, and His image into you and I, into every believer of Christ, into every child of His. God expects a return on what He has invested in your life. Question is, what are you doing with the life God has given you, have given to you? You see, God understood that we would never be able to make it through this life on our own. So here in the book of John, the 3rd chapter, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That right there is a complete gospel spoken in a capsule. Yes, God loves us. He loves us with an undying love. He loves us more than we do ourselves. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, those who are listening in, we sometimes are too hard on ourselves. We have to understand that in ourselves we can't do nothing. He promises in the word, He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He promised that He would take care of our each and every need if we would just allow Him to. Yes, the God that we serve, He is an awesome God. He is a God that has everything in control. Every foundation in this hour is being shaken, from the White House all the way to your house and mine, even in the church house. You see, God sent us His Son Jesus, His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the one that became the sin offering and sacrifice for all mankind. Jesus Christ gave up His life so that you and I could have ours. Every believer of Christ should be thankful. All those that have been born in sin, there's a way out. An invitation can have been given, but it's up to you to come to that place of total surrender in your life to Christ. Jesus, He's our way maker. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus came so that every believer could experience the new birth, new spiritual birth experience. You see, the old life that was ruined by Adam's sin, when him and Eve fell into sin in the Garden of Eden. But Jesus came that we may be redeemed by the blood that He shed on Calvary. See, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there will be no remission of sin. So the gift of life that God gave to humanity has been restored. However, there is a choice that you and everyone have to choose Christ in order to receive the free gift. See, God has offered it to us, to every human being born and yet not born. But everyone was born in sin, took upon the sin nature. We was born in sin all the way from our mother's womb. But thank God for Jesus, who came from heaven down upon this earth, lowered himself from his position in heaven, was fashioned as a man, walked upon this earth, was tempted in all areas, but yet sinned not. Jesus, the sinless one, when it, hallelujah, he took upon his shoulders the sins of the world. Sin was placed upon him, and he became the ultimate sacrifice for all mankind. Shed his blood for the remission of our sins. We as believers, we should be thankful and grateful for what Jesus did for us. In the book of John 3, verse 34 through 36, it says, "For he whom God had sent, speaking the word of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loved the Son and has given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son," talking about Jesus, "has everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son," on Jesus, "shall not see light, but the wrath of God remains on him. So it would behoove you to come to the place of accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of life." See, God gave to Jesus a limitless outpouring of his Holy Spirit. He gave him a special anointing to Jesus so he would be empowered for his ministry here on earth. That same Jesus that God gave the power to, that same Jesus that God gave the anointing to, that same Jesus, as we know him as Lord and Savior of our lives, is the same Jesus that we as followers of his has to endure. Jesus needed this anointing and empowerment in order to accomplish his mission of saving the world. You see, Jesus, he held the office of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king. So therefore, God did not anoint Jesus with oil, but with power through the Holy Spirit, Jesus became the perfect vessel for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. So what kind of return is God getting for his investment in you, in me, as a believer of Christ, as a child of his? Because God expects a return on what he has invested in you. You see, God gave us life and then gave us Jesus so that we could have a new life, a spiritual birth. You remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus by night? He was one of the rulers of the Jews. They knew that Jesus was special. There was something about him, because he was one that spoke with authority. And then Jesus told him, as being one of the rulers of the Jews, he explained to him the scripture. And Nicodemus asked, he said, "How can a man be born again? Can he return to his mother's womb?" Jesus told him that he wasn't talking about a physical birth. He was talking about a spiritual birth. Hallelujah. So we as believers of Christ, we as children of God, when we came to that place of total surrender, our lives to Christ, repenting of our sins, giving our life to Him, making a confession with our mouth, and a belief in our heart, we experience spiritual birth, a spiritual renewal taking place in our lives. So once your sins are forgiven, God then sets you apart for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God came, the promise, after Jesus ascended back to him and after the apostles and the 120 that was in the upper room in the book of Acts around the second chapter, when it said in the first verse, when the time of Pentecost was fully come, then the Spirit of the Lord descended as a rushing mighty wind into the upper room, where there was in one heart, one mind, and one accord. They got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with new tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. That same outpouring of the Holy Ghost, that same Spirit of God that turned, that filled them up and empowered them with power from on high, abides in every believer of Christ. You see, God wants you to have an unlimited empowerment through the Holy Spirit here this night and forevermore. God expects a return on what He has invested in you. God is good and worthy to be praised. Again, brothers and sisters, believers of Christ, God expects a return on what He has invested in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You're worthy. and set the captives free. Oh, yeah, you're worthy. Oh.
Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Hallelujah. God is a good God and worthy to be praised. All praise, all glory, all honor belongs to him this night and forevermore. Hallelujah. Again, we are talking about God expects a return on what he has invested in you as a born-again believer of Christ and a child of his. God wants you to have an unlimited empowerment through the Holy Spirit. What kind of return is God getting for his investment in you? That is something that you must meditate on and consider this night. Believers of Christ, serve God with all your life. Worship him with all your heart. Honor him with your own actions. What are you doing with the investment that he has placed in your life? Again, people of God, God wants a return on his investment because he has invested a lot in his children. And he wants to see us do something with it. God knows each of us perfectly, better than we know ourselves. God knows that you, as a child of his, what you are capable of, and he entrusts you with a mission in accordance with the gifts that he has given you. Now, this is something for you to really meditate on. People might have wrote you off. People may have belittled you, called you everything but a child of God. But here, God Almighty, the one that shaped us, made us, breathed within us his breath, causes us to give us a free will. He knows that you, as a child of his, what you are capable of, and he entrusts you with a mission in accordance with the gifts that he has given you. You see, God is reasonable, but he absolutely does not have low expectations. So he expects big things from you as a child of his. God expects a great return on his investment. You see, everything that you and I are or ever will be is because of what Jesus has given to us for good works, for kingdom building. Until Jesus returns, Jesus expects a return also on his investment. In Psalms 24, verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Also in the book of Matthew 19, verse 29, it says, and everyone that has forsaken houses, our brethren, our sisters, our father, our mother, our wife, our children, our land, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. So getting a grip on God's great and loving investment in you, it should motivate you to gladly consider making your sacrifice rich in dividends of your money, time, and talent. God wants you to trust him deeply, and he will provide for all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The word of God says in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, for us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. Philippians 4 and 19 says, but my God shall supply your each and every need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, God makes an incredible investment in his time for your life. The question may be asked to you again tonight, are you willing to work 24 hours on a daily basis in order to protect God's investment and make his purpose a reality in your life? God is awesome. The God that we serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the great I Am, the one that neither slumber nor sleep, the one that knows the law by name, the very hairs on our head. You see, God expects a return on what he has invested in you. God has truly invested in his chosen people, whom he had purchased with his own son's blood, talking about Jesus, likened unto an investor investing into the stock market, looking for his return. We as believers of Christ owe God on his return, which is the manifestation of souls being reached for the glory of God. Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. Let us be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Our investor, which is Jesus, have planted his seed in us, which is by the Holy Ghost, and he is looking for his return. Souls are a return product to God. Brothers and sisters of Christ, our eternal depends directly upon how much of our talent has contributed to the growth of the kingdom of God. I'm going to repeat this. Brothers and sisters of Christ, our eternal destiny depends directly upon how much of our talent has contributed to the growth of the kingdom of God. See, God has invested in us, and he expects a return in the form of spiritual growth. That's why God expects us, and he wants us to grow. He don't want us to remain as a babe in Christ. No, he wants us to move from baby food all the way to meat. Expect us, the more that we learn, the more that we are held accountable for, the more that we get into the Word of God for ourselves, study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rather than the word of truth. So God's desire is to expand his kingdom through the gifts, the talents, and ability he has invested in every believer of Christ. You see, the kingdom of God is likened unto a business, and the church is God's investment. He bought us with his sons, Jesus Christ, precious blood, and God wants a return on that investment. A return would be the strengthening and expansion of his kingdom, of God's kingdom. Here the word says in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 15 through 16, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promises of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confined, no man is able or added thereof or thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed, what a promise made, he said not, and to seed as a many, but as a one, and to thy seed, which is in Christ. God expects a return on what he has invested in you. When we, as believers of Christ, became a new creature, we receive supernatural abilities, which are listed in three different categories: administration, gifts, and operation. Because we know that God wants a return on his investment, it is important to discover the abilities that he has placed in our lives and learn how to use them. Here, we know that God is a triune God. Three persons in one: God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There are nine gifts that comes from the Holy Spirit. There are faith, wisdom, knowledge, miracles, discerning of spirits, healing, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. There are also seven operational gifts coming from the Father, from God himself. It is prophecy, ministry service, exhortation and encouragement, giving, leadership, and mercy. Also, brothers and sisters, all those that are listening, there are also five administrative gifts that comes from Jesus Christ, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastors and teachers. Discover your calling through your gift, child of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to confirm to you, your spiritual gift. Then use it for God's glory, because God wants a return on his investment. Every gift is an investment in us from God, and he wants in return on that investment. Yes, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God, as we know it, as a believer of Christ, plays a very important role in the kingdom. There are very important dreams, visions, and ideas that God has only given to you individually. And if you don't accomplish them, no one else will. You see, your dreams are worthy and worthwhile. God wants to live in each one of us, each one of his children, so that those who have received him have become the living temple of God. Yes, in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 9, it says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And if so be, that the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Are you, child of God, given your physical, natural body, the respect it deserves? Remember, believer of Christ, you play a very important role in the kingdom of God. God expects a return on what he has invested in you. Yes, you are showing respect to the creator of your body when you take care of yourself by getting proper rest, by exercising, by eating properly, by resting. Another thing that you must do, you must take care of, is your mind. Because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Believers of Christ, the entire battle over the kingdom of God takes place in your mind. That's why it's very important to cast down every imagination that try to exalt itself over God, over Jesus. Bring it down to submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You see, the kingdom of God is where the rule of God is. It's being acknowledged and it's being obeyed. It's in the mind. So people of God, we know that our warfare, our weapon of our warfare, are not carnal, but mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Always remember this, that your time here on earth is very short. So if you are going to be a good steward of God's gift, you must learn to use your time very wisely. Believer of Christ, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So we must remember, hallelujah, as we are, as you listen to this teaching tonight, that God expects a return on what he has invested in you. He wants a spiritual return on his investment. He wants us to be about our Father's business. He wants us to go out beyond the four walls of a building into the highways and the byways and compel people to come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For God, he is a good investor. Jesus, his son, came down from heaven, took upon himself the form of man, walked on this earth. He was sinless. He was tempted in all areas, but he sinned not. Jesus Christ is the one, when he was brought to judgment hall, before his foot was spotted, he didn't say a mumbling word. They placed upon him a crown of thorns upon his head. Blood and sweat came trembling down his brow. Jesus didn't say a mumbling word. They laid stripes on his back. Hallelujah. Where his skin was being peeled from his back. He didn't say a mumbling word. They laid the old rugged cross on his shoulders. He dragged it from judgment hall all the way to where he was being crucified at Calvary's Hill. They nailed him to the old rugged cross. They put him on the cross, drove stakes into the palm of his hand, into the ankles of his feet. They lift him high. They stretched him wide. Jesus Christ on the cross. They pierced him in his side. The water and sweat came trembling down. When the water hit the ground, the thundering started roaring. The lightning started flashing. The graves started opening up. The dead was walking among the living. Jesus Christ, before he gave up the ghost, he looked up and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then he bowed his head into the locks of his shoulders. Jesus Christ. They took him off that cross, placed him in a borrowed tomb. After 3 days, he rose up with powerful on high. He went and found the apostles that was hidden, locked up in a room. Jesus, he ministered to them. Jesus, he gave them instruction before ascending up on high. And he let them know to go tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit to come forth. And after 10 days, after he gave them the instruction, they were all together in one heart and one mind and in one accord in the upper room. And the Spirit of the Lord came in like a rushing mighty wind, touched them, hallelujah, gave them the Holy Spirit. They started speaking with divers tongues, as the Spirit gave utterance. Jesus Christ, that same power given to the apostles is given to us. That same power that was given to the apostle Peter, he stood up, he preached the gospel in the book of Acts, in the second chapter, where in one service, 3,000 souls gave their life to Christ. That's what it's all about. The investment that have invested in us. And he is expecting a great return to come forth on our part. There may be one, or there may be some underneath the sound of my voice tonight that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Hallelujah. I'll stop by to let you know. And the same God that did it for Peter, James, and John, and all the rest of the apostles is that same God that wants to bless you. That same God that wants to fill you up with his Holy Spirit. The first thing we must do is recognize we need him. For the Bible says we can't do nothing without him. So if that teaching fits you tonight, don't put it off. Come to Jesus just the way you are. Turn around from the floor up. Let him turn you around. put your foot on solid ground. Where it says in the book of Romans, verse 9, hallelujah, verse 9 and 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. After you repent of your sin, make a confession of faith and a belief. According to Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, say we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in our heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead. For with our heart we believe on the righteous. And with our mouth confession is made unto salvation. From this night forward, we thank God. We are grateful and thankful for what he has done this night and forevermore. In the name of Jesus we pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God is good and worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. We hope that you've enjoyed the broadcast this evening. If you have questions or have comments or have a topic you'd like to be discussed, please feel free to contact Apostle Tebow by writing to him at P.O. Box 92864, Lafayette, Louisiana, 70509. Again, that's P.O. Box 92864, Lafayette, Louisiana, 70509. Thank you. And if you have gleaned any information, please share the number 347-826-9424 with family and friends to join us every Tuesday and every Friday evening at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please call us. Please join us. Please pray. Just know that God is in control and that everything happens for a reason. Have a great evening. Enjoy your week. We pray that you'll be able to join us again on Friday at 6 p.m. The Lord willing, Central Standard Time. Share the number. God love you. We love you. God bless you. Have a great week.